admins and a mic, that's the name. Other podcasts, they're not the same. Smart conversation, zero fluff. Two admins and a mic, that's the good stuff. Brains behind brilliance, steady and bright. Welcome, we're two admins and a mic.
Hey everybody, welcome to Two Admins and a Mic. My name's Diana Hansen.
Hey guys, I'm Melinda Vale Goodnight, and Two Admins and a Mic is made possible by Conant Leadership.
And this is a podcast for admins by admins. We'd like you to check out our website and join us, twoadminsandamic.com, T-W-O. We're going to be updating it with blogs and resources.
Join, subscribe, and then come join us.
Hey admins, it's Diana from Two Admins and a Mic, and I'm here to introduce today's guest, Doug Conant. Doug is the founder and CEO of Conant Leadership, which happens to be the company that makes this podcast possible. He's the former president and CEO of Campbell Soup Company, the former president of Nabisco Foods, and he's the New York Times best-selling author. He has a lot of other great accomplishments I'd love to share with you, but we only do a half-hour podcast. Also, when you have a chance, go check conantleadership.com, where you can see Doug's new initiative, Higher Ground. With that, here's part one of our conversation with my boss and friend, Doug Conant.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, it's great to be with you. For better or worse, you are the highlight of my morning. I don't know what that means, but to me, it means a lot.
I'm not even going to, not going to go there. For better or worse, I love that. Okay, first question, right out of the box. If you were talking to a junior exec who has an executive assistant for the very first time, what would be two or three things right out of the box that you could tell him to help them build that partnership like you and Diana have built over the past 17 years? Is that correct, Diana?
I think it's close.
Okay.
It'll give our age away.
Close enough for government work. But, you know, first of all, I would say him or her as a manager and then working with an assistant. You know, my mindset from the get-go, everywhere I've been with every job I've had, I have colleagues that I work with. And my goal with my closest colleague, which in this case, in this example, I believe is the administrative assistant, would be I need to be thinking about how 1 + 1 can equal 3.
Okay.
And how the power of the two of us working together can lift up our contribution profile more than either one of us could do individually. So I'm always, from the very beginning, first job out of graduate school 50 years ago in March, first colleague I had was an administrative assistant that worked for my boss, but she and I worked together. It was how can the two of us make a bigger difference than either one of us could make individually? And there were ways I could be helpful to her, and there were ways she could be helpful to me. And I think if you have that mindset is about How can we make this the best possible working arrangement in terms of our contribution profile to our larger team? If you start there, you find ways. And all of a sudden, you start thinking, well, I could do this for you if you could help me with this. It just that mindset from the get-go is the mindset that I commend to anyone who's working with any colleague for the first time, particularly an administrative assistant, because undoubtedly, in my experience, administrative assistants have, for better or worse, more untapped potential in most organizations because their jobs have been so structured and limited. And undoubtedly, they have this ability to contribute at a higher level. And so you just have to be looking for that. And quite frankly, I've been doing that for 50 years, not just with administrative assistants, but with all the people I work with. But quite frankly, the closest working relationship I've had every step along the way has been with my administrative assistant.
And keep in mind, I think a lot of people don't know this, but the first week I worked for Doug was the week he had a horrible accident and I had to man the ship while he, you know, we were struggling to get him where he had to be and everything. But he was in a really bad car accident. Actually, it was like one of my first days working for him.
Oh, my gosh.
It was Friday, July 2nd, 2009, yep. But who's keeping track? And she had started working for me that week. Now, we knew each other before because she worked in the office adjacent to mine for our general counsel. So we knew each other, but we didn't have an intimate working relationship. I was in a near-fatal car accident that took me out of the office for months. And she had to start answering the phone that day. board members, friends, family, who she didn't know yet.
Yeah, and I had to track down his wife.
So we had a bumpy start, but quite frankly, she saved my bacon more than once. And it was just testimony to this capacity that people have to help each other out. That's our story, and I'll stick to it.
So you treat and I'm trying to not think about you being with Diana for this long, but colleagues are colleagues, no matter what the title is. It's respect, it's honor, it's value. So you don't differentiate between, you wouldn't treat an administrative assistant any less than.
Well, I'll just use a bad example. I'm in my office at my summer cottage, and I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 presidents I've worked with, and they put
pictures with them.
And they put their pants on one leg at a time. And I knew more about what I was talking about than they knew. And I find that's true wherever I go, whatever I'm doing. It's not that I'm particularly smart, but the world is filled with, I believe, well-intended people who can be very approachable if you approach them in a thoughtful, honorable way. And in my experience, these are my words now, I find if I sort of honor where they're coming from, they honor where I'm coming from, and we all do better. When I was an entry-level person 50 years ago, I had to go represent my group with all these support groups, and if I was kind and thoughtful with them, they were kind and thoughtful with me. And the same thing was true with our administrative assistants. If I was kind and thoughtful with them, they were kind and thoughtful with me. And quite frankly, when I started, I had never worked in a corporate office. The first day I went to work, I was fresh off the tennis tour. I had tried to be a professional tennis player, and I had a khaki suit, a yellow shirt, a wide Madras tie, brown earth shoes. I had an afro and
a mustache.
And a mustache and a tan line from my headband. And I went to work the first day, and it seemed like everyone, all these MBAs that were there, were wearing blue pinstripe suits with white shirts and red ties. And it's like, what am I doing here? I mean, within 3 months, I also had a few blue pinstripe suits, white shirts, and red ties, too. But it was like going to a foreign country. And the people that I first worked with, my closest colleagues, were admins and entry-level people in various positions who we helped each other out, you know? And I don't know, where do you go to do this? How do you get this done? And in that group were the administrative professionals that I was exposed to directly and indirectly. And I realized, I mean, that early on, I'm talking 50 years now, I realized that they knew more about what was going on than anybody else in that building.
There's my question.
And it would have been just foolish for me not to dial into that and use it to help me help more in the company.
And I was going to say, what's something assistants understand about leadership before leaders do? But you sort of kind of threw that in there in the last answer.
Yeah, of who to follow and how to get there. It takes a village. What I've learned is I don't know everything about Excel, but I know who the Excel guru is at Southwest Airlines. I don't know who the best caterer is, but I know where to go to find out. So I think if a leader is open to that, I think that's amazing.
Well, and as a leader, if you think about the leader shouldn't need to know that.
No.
You know, they shouldn't be worrying about that. They should have confidence that you can figure that out, and they shouldn't be involved in that. But we can go way beyond catering. It's how are we going to get this project done? Who do we have to work with? How do we have to set up a cadence of meetings that will allow us to get this done effectively and efficiently? And to my mind, an administrative professional ought to be your full partner there. Mm-hmm. And after one clearing conversation of what we're trying to do and here's what I think, what do you think, then the admin should take the ball and run with it. I've got other things to do. I'm not going to start scheduling meetings and saying I want to talk to this guy and this. I mean, life's too short. Anyway,
yes, for sure.
So that's what I think. And I would tell you, it does demand that you have high standards for the people you work with. We have to attract, develop, engage, and retain talent that wants to be part of this team, and they really have to aspire to contribute at a very high level. When you get the right people, as Jim Collins says in his book, Good to Great, when you get the right people on the bus, including your administrative professional, it's amazing how you can lift up the contribution profile of that bus. And you don't want to leave any of your colleagues, especially your admin, who's your closest partner. You don't want to leave any stone unturned in terms of them being able to contribute and them being able to make a difference. By the way, it makes you look good, too, for what it's worth. I mean, you know, when things go well, I know why they went well. And usually it's not because of me.
When things go well, and Diana, I think, will agree with this, when things go well, that just means that we did our job. And it's unseen. It's behind the scenes sometimes. Oh, yeah. So support is support. So I love that answer.
Well, but you know, you don't take when things go well for granted.
They can go sideways very quickly.
Inevitably, yes. There is some catastrophe that lies in the weeds there that was unanticipated that has to be dodged or worked around. And I don't take that for granted. I know whenever I'm in charge of anything, actually getting something done, it's high risk. So I know it's, especially today, it's never smooth sailing. You know, there's always something coming in from outside of what you expect that shakes the tree in a way that you didn't anticipate and has to be addressed. And when things go smoothly, I'm thinking, I know somebody rose to the challenge here and got this done, and I know it wasn't me.
Yes. Okay. Real quick question. Diana, do you have anything before I go into another question?
I just have a quick question I want to ask them because I think I know the answer, but I might be wrong. What's the best advice one of your administrative assistants had ever given you?
My administrative assistants had ever given me.
And I think it happened at Campbell, if I'm thinking the same thing. It has to do with sneakers.
That was great advice. It was 2008, and I was there was a financial crisis. President Obama was bailing out the banks. The entire corporate world felt like it was on edge. People were wondering what was going to happen. And I'm an introvert. I know it's hard to believe in this conversation, but I am an introvert. And my executive assistant before Diana, Sally Collins, said, you know, you got to get out of your office and you got to start talking to people out in the out in the building. You got to show up. I said, I don't want to go out there. They're going to ask me all these questions. I don't have good answers. I'm not going. And she said, well, yes, you are. And then she said, tomorrow I'm going to put an article on the portal that says Doug's going to be out walking around. And if you see him in his sneakers with his pedometer on, he's going to get a half hour walk around the building to get his 10,000 steps in every day. And I said, I'm not going to do that. And she said, well, we'll see. The next day, the article was published in the portal. Doug's going to be out walking around. And I said, I can't believe you did that. She said, your shoes are by the door. Here's the pedometer. And then basically, she said, look, we can't predict when you're going to have a half an hour free every day, but we know there's going to be a half an hour. So I'm going to be looking for it every day. When it pops up, you're going to put your shoes on, you're going to put the pedometer on, and you're going to start walking around the building. I said, what? You know, no. And the next day, I walked around the building, and I didn't want to talk to anybody. She was pretty thoughtful about the way she set it up because people knew if I had my shoes on and my pedometer, I wasn't stopping. I was exercising. It was around our world headquarters building in Camden, but ultimately, it could have been anywhere I was traveling to any facility. And so they didn't stop to talk to me. They'd acknowledge me or whatever. Within a couple weeks, I was so comfortable with it, I would start talking to people. And I've got to say, it changed my relationship within the company. Yep. All of a sudden, it became personal. I was known for doing a lot of things that were considered to be thoughtful with our associates, but it wasn't because I was an introvert. When I wasn't comfortable personally connecting with people, I mean, connecting with people in person. And so, I worked through that eventually, but it was powerful advice. And at this point, you know, I had been a CEO 2008, my gosh, I'd been, I've been around a while and I was just learning this lesson, really triggered by my administrative assistant. And it changed my life in really interesting ways. And that was about 3 years before my car accident, 2 years before my car accident. And I basically had a different relationship with the employee population based on all that walking around. When I had the accident, I found people really, I felt more connected to everyone.
That and your assistant set it up and kind of forced
and she didn't take
it.
No for an answer. She knew the right answer. And she also knew that I trusted her. We had worked together at that point for 8 years.
Okay.
And I trusted her. And she'd seen CEOs come and go. And I didn't want to be one of the people that went. So I was very, I'm no dummy. I listened to her. And she had brilliant instincts based on her length, based on who she was, first of all, as a person, but also her length of time in the company and her experience with all our board and all of our key executives. She was incredibly helpful and is a good friend to this day.
Yep. I was going to say, you still stay in touch with her.
I want to meet Sally now.
Oh, we're going to have Sally on.
Oh, good. Yay. I need to meet her. Okay. I'm a podcast chick. I love podcasts. We have our own podcast. I think you have a podcast. Are you a podcast guy? Do you listen? I'm obsessed with Brené Brown and Adam Grant right now. So anything out there that you're listening to right now?
Actually, yes and no. I'm not as much a podcast person at this stage in my life. I'm a reader. I'm old school. I've got hundreds of books in here, and I get books all the time from new authors and friends. And so I'm a reader, not a listener. I like to ponder things. And
do you write in the margins and highlight?
Well, I have been known to do that. I have on my desk here. Jim Collins just wrote a new book, which is incredible. What to Make of a Life, and he's the author of the best-selling business book of all time, Good to Great. And in this case, I haven't written in the margins, but I have all these notes that I've taken that I keep in the book, and I keep them in the areas that I'm most interested in. So, and then I have a book from Cynthia Covey and Stephen R. Covey, the last book that was ever written under his name that she finished, Live Life in Crescendo. And it's that. Your most important work is always ahead of you. That I find this incredibly inspiring. I have a book that I was in Washington, D.C. recently, and I met with the CEO of the Gallup organization, John Clifton.
Yes.
And John challenged me to retake the Clifton strengths test. So I did that. And I've received my results. I still have work to do, but
we have time.
But I am slow, and I'll get better yet. So that's what I do. I read.
Okay.
I do interviews and podcasts, and I end up talking a lot about the space that I work in, which is broadly speaking this leadership space and helping next generation leaders become the best versions of themselves.
Hey, it's Diana again. Be sure to tune in for part two to learn about Doug's life lessons, balancing praise, accountability, among other tidbits he gives us. Thanks for joining us.
And remember to go to all of our social media platforms and subscribe, and mainly our website. Come join us. We drop every 2 weeks, and we want you to be there.
And remember, this is for admins by admins.